As we mentioned this morning, we want to take some time this evening to review my recent trip, and I want to begin by, again, thanking the good brethren here for the opportunity to do that and the support to do that and your prayers. It means a lot to be prayed for and be supported in this particular work. I want to thank our elders and for making the decisions to allow me to go and to fund the trip and to give me the time to do that, and I appreciate them. And those who were preaching and teaching in my place, I appreciate them as well. So I wanted to take some time this evening to review the work that we were able to do over the past few weeks. If you look at the scripture reading that we had there in Acts chapter 14, there are a couple of things there that Luke records that impresses me, and that this trip was focused on God. You'll notice in verse 26 that they were able to make the trip because of the grace of God. And that's the same today. God's grace, God's blessing, and God's favor is what allows men to preach not only locally, but other places. And I'm greatly appreciative and thankful for the grace of God that allows us to do these things in our modern world. And then in verse 27, when they got back from the trip, Paul had made mention that it was God that had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. We're just simply humble servants. It is God who opens the doors, and He wants us to walk through those doors. He wants us to take the opportunities locally and abroad to share the gospel. But it was by God's grace that they had made the trip, and it was God that had opened up the door of faith. And then in verse 27, they rehearsed all things that God had done. Three times there in that short passage, three things are attributed to God. And so I believe the same is still true today as we accomplish these things. So let's begin this evening to look at our trip. Jeff, if you'll get the lights there. So I left on the 21st from Nashville, go through JFK, and JFK to Lagos, Nigeria by way of Paris. There was a layover in Paris. On the 22nd, I arrive in Lagos in the evening. I'm picked up by Leslie Agaraba. He's probably around, I think he's 29 years old, and just a faithful young gospel preacher, his father. You'll see him in a minute. He's a faithful gospel preacher as well. He picked me up there. Of course, I've been going to Ghana, but I started off this trip in Nigeria, and Lagos is down here. The old capital is Lagos. The new capital is Abuja, but fly into Lagos, and I was there about 4 days. Some of you have asked me about the persecution of so-called Christians. It's up here in the northern part. There's not a whole lot going down here in the southern part, so folks are more typically safe in that area. So fly from JFK over to Paris, which is up in here, and it's almost a due south down into Lagos. I thought this was funny. Leslie, this is Leslie buried under there. They're not used to air conditioning, and the room, of course, was air conditioned that night that we spent the night just near the airport, and he's all bundled up. Because he's pretty cold. I feel great, but he's pretty cold. I thought that was good. The next day, after breakfast, we meet with Emmanuel Ebong. Emmanuel is a preacher there in Nigeria. And the last time I saw Emmanuel was in 1985 and 1986. We've not spoken or seen each other since then. We were down at Florida College together. And he had come over from Nigeria to FC to go to school there and went back home and preached, and so it was good to catch up with him. After that visit, we drive to the Epwe suburb, if you want to call it that. Lagos is very large. They probably have around 14 million. It's a pretty big city. And on the southeast side of town is Epwe, where Leslie preaches. We meet with a couple. Phoebe is a member of the church. Phoebe Abaro and her husband was raised in the Catholic Church. And so I study with him that evening. We have a very good study, and he agrees to be baptized. And so I'd just been there one day, and we already had a baptism, and that was encouraging. And it really is good for us just to sit down and talk with people about their salvation. It's not as hard as we think. It's something that we can do here. I would encourage us to do that as much as possible. You never know. Give someone a chance to obey the gospel. So he was willing to leave Catholicism and be baptized into Christ. So this is Manny. We call him Manny, Emmanuel Ebong. He's probably 6'3 or 6'4, pretty big guy. And this is Leslie here on the right. We have an opportunity to meet and catch up and talk about our preaching labors, and it's been good to catch up, and he will see me again in a couple of days later. On the way to Epway, we stopped. This is Leslie's father, Julius. He's a gospel preacher, and he has a little store. And he has a printer back here where he does copies for people, but he just sells a few little items. And I've never met him before in my life, and I walk up, and he was sitting at this little table getting his lesson on Romans. He's teaching through Romans. He was sitting there reading his Bible, getting his lesson ready, and when people come and buy from him, he talks with them about the gospel and so forth. But that's Julius Agaribo. And this is Leslie and his father, Julius. His mother, Veronica, is like three shops down. So she has her little store. And she sells food stuff and different things in her store. Some household products. There's brooms and so forth. And she sells a few things. This is the church building where Julius and Veronica meet with about 40 brethren or so, 50 brethren, and this is where I will preach the next day. This is wood, bamboo, a metal roof, but very basic around the sides there. That's where they're meeting. This is the inside of the meeting place, and this is on a Thursday. The next day on Friday, I will preach here, and Leslie will do some preaching as well. Plastic chairs is very common for most brethren. Every place I've ever been in Ghana or Nigeria, it's always been plastic chairs. So we can appreciate our comfortable pews. This is a typical meal, chicken and rice. This is barbecued chicken, plantain, and of course rice. But that barbecue, they use a lot of black pepper, so it's actually very spicy. But the plantain is common on a plate. When you get a meal. That evening, I studied with Godwin, and Phoebe is already a member of the church, and he decided that he wanted to obey the gospel. So Godwin and Phoebe. The next day, we attend the baptism of Godwin in the morning, and then record three Bible study videos for Leslie's YouTube channel. He does a weekly YouTube channel. The topics are the origin of Christianity, are we born in sin, and the Lord's church. After that, we visit Julius and Veronica in the afternoon, and the congregation where Julius and Veronica are at is called Ibeja Lakey, and so I speak there that afternoon from 4 to 6:30 p.m. I speak on the following topics. Is America the founder of Christianity? Why do American preachers speak heresy? And what must I do to be saved? These three topics were assigned to me. Julius wanted me to speak on these things, and I'll say more about that in just a minute. I speak for about an hour, and Leslie speaks for about 30 minutes, and then there's an hour question and answer. There is Godwin. Leslie baptized him in an area where there was some water, and Phoebe, of course, is very happy. I'm standing there with him. Godwin has a very bad left leg. And so it took him a while to get down into the water, but where there's a will, there's a way. And he just wanted to be baptized. And so it took him a while to get down, but he was glad when he came up a new creature in Christ. Here are some other brethren that traveled with us to that baptism. And these are young men, members of the church. And I spoke with them. Some of them are in their mid-20s. They've gone to college, but they can't get work. I run into that a lot over there when I talk with our young Christians. They go to school, they get an education, and then the country won't give them a job. and I feel sorry for them, so they just try to do what they can here and there. But pray for our brethren in other places. I thought this was a neat radio station. GUTS, Guts, 104.9. So that's the name of that radio station. I guess it's probably a pretty strong radio station would be my guess. So we do the radio programs there. This is the program there in the afternoon from around 4:30 or so to 6, and I speak on those topics. These were the topics that Julius, Leslie's father, gave me ahead of time. There is a very common belief, both in Nigeria and Ghana, and probably other places in Africa, that the white man brought Christianity to Africa. And that's how they speak about that. They word it that way. They use the word white man. The white man brought us Christianity. And so I talked about how that the gospel started in Jerusalem. I talked about how the church started in Jerusalem. The gospel started in Jerusalem. It didn't start in America. And so I dealt with that. Why are some Americans teaching heresy? I opened up by answering that question by saying, why are some Nigerians teaching heresy? And they laughed. It's the same reason why anybody teaches heresy. And we talked about why people stray from the truth. And then, of course, we closed with, what must a man do to become a Christian? This is Leslie preaching for a few minutes for the crowd there. Very hot, of course. Open air that gives you a picture. Some of the brethren at Abeja Lakey. There was an overflow. They were not all able to fit inside, and so there here are brethren standing outside. Afterwards, when I try to get my hands on the little ones, I try to do that. So there's a little one there. There's some of the brethren. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Leslie and his mother, and he's got some sisters and other family members. Notice that we all have the same clothes on. They had those clothes ordered so that we would all look the same. And I appreciated that. On the 25th, Leslie and I go to the airport. We depart around 1:40 for Accra, Ghana. That evening, Leslie will speak at the Sun City Church on the individual versus local church responsibility. On the way to the airport, I snapped this picture real quick. This guy is doing a series of lessons there. He's from the third church, but zero works, 100% grace. So Calvinism has gotten to Nigeria just like it has all around the world. You don't have to do anything to do to be saved. It's all God's grace. I thought that was interesting. So there we are. African World is a Ghana-based airlines, and we're leaving to go to Ghana. So just move a few countries over. There's Benin, and then the little country of Benin, the little country of Togo, and then Ghana. So we flew from Lagos. We pretty much just hugged the coastline, and you land in Accra. You land in Accra. This is the capital of Ghana, and then you take this N1 highway just following the coast. And you come down here to this Winneba area right in here. This is where Benjamin Nkrumah, we support Benjamin and Rita here at this congregation. They are down in this area. So I will spend the rest of the time in this area before flying home. But you fly from Lagos into Accra. Benjamin picked us up at the airport, and I don't know if you can see this back here. Akwaba is their word for welcome. That evening, Leslie preaches on individual responsibility versus church responsibility. One area that we're trying to help over there is that knowing the difference between what a church can do with its funds versus what an individual can do with its funds. In Ghana, they have inherited institutionalism and liberalism from us, and so they're mixed up on that, and they will often take from the church treasury and do things that individuals should actually be doing. So those are always good lessons when we can preach on that. On Sunday, the 26th, Leslie and I speak at the Agape Top Church. Emmanuel and Florence Giassi Kwanza work with this church. I speak for the Bible class. The topic is If Your Bible Could Talk, encouraging them to open and use their Bibles more. Leslie preaches the sermon, Always Abound in the Work of the Lord. Emmanuel translates for us. I get asked this a lot. Do they speak English? Everybody speaks English in these countries. They learn in school. They grow up learning English. But obviously their local tribal language is more comfortable with them. So we always try to do both English and the local language. Afterwards, I speak a men's class, Get a Busy Man. That's one that I had preached here recently. And in the evening, I want to talk about benevolence that we've tried to do from time to time on an individual basis. We give some baking supplies to this Isaac and Vida Sam. So I'm preaching at Agape Top, and Emmanuel is translating. Leslie is preaching as well. And this is a good shot to give you an idea. If it's not the wooden bamboo type building, it's the concrete block building and the metal roof. This is a very typical church building in that area. And of course, the plastic chairs. So that's the Agape Top Brethren meeting there. There's a congregational picture afterwards. And they're really good brethren, and I enjoyed being with them. Here's the men's class afterwards, preaching on that. We had lunch afterwards in the preacher's home. Emmanuel is married to a woman, her name is Florence, and her side job is, she's actually a very good chef at a hotel in Accra. And she went to culinary school and baking school, and she does a really good job with that. That is a Greek salad there on the left, and it was a very good Greek salad. And then they do a lot of things where they will have salads with, it might be like tuna fish in it, or some kind of meat or fish, and then just a variety of things. And I think I mentioned this to you 2 years ago. They will set it out early, and they put the plastic wrap on the top to keep any flies off or anything. But that was a very good meal. In the evening, you brethren have given me money. Other brethren, other places have given me money for benevolence needs and things like that. And so from time to time tonight, when I say something like, we helped somebody, that's what I'm talking about. Individual funds have gone to help people. This couple, we're back at the Sun City building where, Benjamin preaches, and we're in his office. And this young couple is very faithful, but they're struggling work-wise and they need some help. So she has been going to baking school and cooking school. And she just needed some help getting started. So this is a big old box of just baking things. Anything dealing with baking cakes and decorating cakes and things like that. She didn't know that she was getting this. And we were talking here and sitting at these chairs, and the box was over here. And we went and got the box and pulled it out. And I took a knife and cut off the top. And when she saw what it was, she started crying. She just was so grateful. She got very emotional. She knew that this was going to give her some help in making the things that she needs to make in order to take care of her family. So that was a great moment. This is where they live. They have a block home, and there's their box of baking goods, and they have two children. This was one of the meals I had. You can see the fish there, the French fries, and then again, this is very common where they will put plantain as well with a meal. And a lot of fresh juice. I think that was pineapple. You can have all the fresh juice you want. They squeeze the fruit and so forth. On Monday, the 27th, I study with Francis Brown. He's about 19 years old. He's one of the children of one of the church members there at Sun City. Talk with him about becoming a Christian. We visit one of the widows there in the church. And then that night, I preach at another congregation called Stone Quarry, and I preach on Paul's prayers. And Martin, who's the preacher at this other congregation, he translates for me. And that night, Leslie preached at Sun City. So here we are that morning visiting this particular widow and encouraging her, building her up. There's the congregation that night at Stone Quarry where I'm preaching, and Leslie's preaching at Sun City. There's the congregation that gathers afterwards for a picture. The next day, Tuesday, We take Leslie to the airport. He flies back home to Nigeria. On the way back, we study with Samuel and Georgina. Georgina is a member of the church. She's a Christian there at Sun City, but her husband, Samuel, is a member of a Pentecostal church. And so we studied for a while. And there are about five or six individuals that we had studies with who weren't converted at that time, and Benjamin has already started following up with them. And so please pray for the follow-up. It kind of reminds me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted and Apollos watered. So sometimes you can do some work, and then through God's providence, it'll come to fruition later. So please pray for these other individuals that need to obey the gospel. Benjamin will be following up with them. We have an opportunity to help Benjamin himself. We buy some office supplies, some things that he's needing. And then I speak again that evening at Stone Quarry, and Martin does the translating. The topic is the second coming parables of Jesus. So we take Leslie back to the airport. The airport in Accra is very modern, very, very nice facility there. On the way back, we study with Samuel and Georgina, and let's pray that Samuel obeys the gospel. Here we are studying. And because he's a member of the Pentecostal church, my study had to do with Acts chapter 2. I said, let's just turn to Acts 2 and see what happened on the day of Pentecost, what remains for us today, and what was for them only. And so we had a very good study, and he agreed that much of what he had been taught is not in the scriptures. One of the main things that we studied about was tongue speaking. And he's always been under the impression that tongue speaking was just sort of this babbling or this gibberish. And we went down through the text there in Acts 2, and he learned that it was a known tongue or a known language. And so that was very helpful for him to learn that. I preached that night again at Stone Quarry on the second coming parables. The next day, Wednesday, we visit with Felix and Emma Adjay at Atwam. He's a young preacher. He's married. They now have their second child. During the daytime, we're getting up around noontime. I speak to a group of Christians, and the topic is from Psalm 103, Do Not Forget the Lord's Benefits. Philip Eshoon, a young preacher who was visiting that day as my translator. That afternoon, we travel again to another congregation, Ocherico. Solomon and Ophelia Abidi work with this congregation, and I speak that evening about Paul's closing admonitions to the Corinthians. There's five closing admonitions in 1 Corinthians 16 and five more in 2 Corinthians 13. And had a good lesson there, and Solomon is my translator. On the way to see Felix, we stopped at a little junction and met Joyce Aban. Joyce is, she's about to be married, I believe, in January. I met her when I went to Cape Coast a couple of years ago, and really even on my first trip. And she's a school teacher, and she's about to get married, and a very faithful member there in Cape Coast. But one reason why we stopped was, you see this bag that she's holding. Ramona Nell quilted that for her. And Ramona wanted me to give her that bag. Ramona has been helping Joyce from time to time and help her finish her schooling, which is a great thing that Ramona has done. But she wanted her to have a quilted handbag. So we stopped along the way, and Joyce met us there where we could give her that bag. Here we are with Felix and his wife, Emma, and their two children, and I got a chance to hold their newborn baby, which was encouraging. I speak to the brethren there. Philip is my translator, and I wanted to show you this picture. The local Ghana preachers, this is very popular. They will have a kind of a three-quarter length shirt that matches the pants, and this is a very common outfit for the preachers in that area. Here are the brethren. This is sort of just an open breezeway in between two different places in this particular home. That evening at Ocherico, I preach at this congregation, and you can see this is the church building. You can see the rough areas around here, not as improved as we would have it. And it's hard to see, but that is actually a couple of small boards put together. There's a trench right up here, a big deep trench, and you have to walk on those boards to get over into the church building. But I preached that evening, and Solomon was my translator. This is the congregation afterwards. I just wanted to make a brief comment about this. During the course of the lesson, I was talking about Paul and things that he was saying to Corinth, and I was talking about how that Corinth was divided, and they had problems, but Paul loved them. The very end of 1 Corinthians, he talks about his love for them, and he wants to help them, he wants them to change, and I was talking about how that Corinth was divided, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and I was reading verses about how they had strife and division and this and that. And Solomon is translating for me, so every time I would say a sentence in English, he would say it in their local language. Well, I'm talking about these church problems and they're being divided and all that, and he stopped and said, he turned around and said, "We've got that problem here." Well, that put me on the spot, and I'm thinking, "Oh no, what am I going to do now? What problem have I caused?" But I just simply said, "Well, brethren, if that's the case, let's humbly study it, talk about it. If we need to change anything, if we need to fix anything, let's do that." But I thought that was kind of interesting that a preacher would, "We've got that problem here." Nothing like honesty. That's the first step to getting back on track with God. And that's Solomon and his wife there. The next day, we spent some time in the morning setting up Ben's printer and monitor, and some, we were able to help him with some things. Ben is very studious, Ben is very organized, and he enjoys studying and making sure that his lessons are great. So I wanted, he was in need of a printer and a monitor, and we were able to help him with that, and a filing cabinet. So I'll show you that in just a minute. We make some visits that day. Mary Ba'a is one of the members at Sun City. She does really well with her store, and we helped Sheila get a chest freezer in order to freeze meat for her business. That evening, I started the first of a two-part series on what Paul taught the Ephesians about the church. I have not done that here, and maybe, Lord willing, in the near future, I can do that. It's a good lesson out of the book of Ephesians. So we helped Benjamin set up some of his things, and the printer here is going to be very helpful also for the church as they're printing things that they need there. Helped him get a filing cabinet there in the middle. This is Mary Ba'a. She's a widow lady. This is her store, and she lives next door here in this home, and then she sells out of this store, and she does well and a very hard worker in the church. She's always busy. She's always there. She's always doing things to help the church. She's in walking distance, and she walks to the building. We also saw Sheila that day, and we helped her. Sheila smokes fish. So here's the fire, here's the smoker, and she's got the fish up there, and that's her business. And Benjamin says she does really well. A lot of people come from a great distance to buy her fish. She keeps that fish in this freezer with chicken, pork, beef, other kinds of things, and we helped her to get this freezer, and I wanted to let you know that your contributions for benevolence and things like that, there are still several more people that are not going to be in this presentation. I didn't have time to get it all in there, but other people are being helped as well, and Benjamin will continue to pass out that benevolent help. But Sheila's a great, faithful lady, and she was helped with that regard. That evening, I start that two-part series on the book of Ephesians. This is the Sun City meeting place where Benjamin and Rita are at, and I was pretty much here the rest of the time. Another meal, here's a smoked fish right there, rice, apples, some salad and other things there. Here's some chicken and rice. This is their version of what we call ketchup. This is a tomato-based. Here's a red one, and here's a green one. The green one, I think, is a little bit hotter, but it's just, you kind of just sprinkle it around on different things, kind of like a sauce. y'all know what bananas are, but I wanted to show you this. This is kind of interesting. When we look at this picture, we might say, man, those things are rotten. Why would I want to eat those? That is actually the condition of their banana that's perfectly ripe. It looks way overripe for us. But their banana is a little bit different. It's shorter. It's a lot sweeter. The meat is not as white. It's more of a brownish color. But that is a very good banana right there, even though it looks bad. The next day, we run some errands. Some of the brethren had given me some money specifically for baby clothes for Felix and his wife. They have a new baby girl. And we were able to get those clothes. And then the Sun City Church needed some marker boards for the children's classes. We were able to find those. And later that day, we studied with Abigail. She's the sister of one of the members. And we had a good Bible study with her. And Benjamin will be following up with her. I preached that evening on the Ephesians part 2. So here's our study with Abigail. It went well, and let's pray that Benjamin's follow-up will do well. That evening, again, preaching on the church in the book of Ephesians. On Saturday, the 1st, in the morning, the teachers there, the ladies, there's five ladies that do a lot of the teaching, they wanted to have sort of a workshop or a discussion about teaching Bible classes, and two of them, or maybe three of them, are school teachers, so they have that good background. But I chose Nehemiah 8 as a pattern for teaching. We went down through Nehemiah 8 and talked about how that helps us in our teaching. I answered, we talked about several typical matters that come up in teaching Bible classes. And then we visit again with Emmanuel in Florence. He's the preacher at Agape Top. And I have a study that afternoon with Rita, Benjamin and Rita. Rita's sister-in-law is a new Christian. And Anita had several questions. She had come over to help with the cooking and so forth for the next few days. And we had a good study. And let's pray for our new converts that they grow in the faith. That evening, I preached on putting my faith into practice. It was a survey of the book of James. So here's our teacher workshop, if you will, on Saturday morning. And that went really well. Talked about different things involving teaching. And these five women do a great job teaching the children. I'll have some pictures for you in just a minute of the children's classes on Sunday. That's the service that evening. That's the typical setup in the meeting place where Benjamin and Rita live. You may recall when I mentioned this the last time that this large room here belongs to Francis and Gladys Brown. It belongs to their house. They have two different parts to their house. And during COVID, they turned this part into a meeting place for the brethren. There was a wall right here. This was meant to be two separate apartments. And they took the wall out and let the brethren meet in here. And so Benjamin and Rita live here in the back. His office is right here. There's a kitchen right there. And around the corner is a bathroom and a bedroom. That's where Benjamin and Rita live. And then they use the rest of this place out here for the meeting place. And the Browns have sacrificed a lot. They have literally sacrificed money that they could be making to have renters in there, renters paying them money. They're willing to forego all of that and just let the church meet there. And that's a great sacrifice by our brethren. Here was a meal that I recognized. On Sunday, the worship service starts at 7:30 and it goes to 11:30. It's a 4-hour Sunday morning service. I taught the Bible class. The Bible saved his life. I preached the sermon, Our Common Salvation. I teach the men's class, encouraging and promoting more male participation. So the shirt that I've got on this evening, that's the one that I have on there. There's a member of the church there named Linda, and she is a clothes maker, and she made matching shirts for Benjamin and myself, and I appreciate her. But this is the Sunday morning service, and we've got our matching shirts on there. This is the children's classes on Sunday morning. They set up three tents out in a courtyard area, and they have their children's classes. This is Rita. She's one of them. This is Forstina. She's another teacher, and they're teaching the children. We're also helping them every quarter or so with the church here sends money to Benjamin so that they can buy the next series of Bible class material, and they're enjoying going through the Bible in an organized fashion. I don't know of any other church, to my knowledge, in Ghana that is doing that. They are actually envied, not in a bad way, but in a good way. They're envied by other brethren that they have regular curriculum to go through for the children. They're becoming a model for others around them. I'm kind of partial to this one. This is little Chris right here. He's sitting there. The next class up, the older children, are with Essie. She teaches some of the older children, and that is their class area. I'm going to show you the tents. The tents have to be set up by the men every Saturday night, and they're taken down every Sunday after services. They do the exact same thing the next week and the next week and the next week. They do a lot of work to set these things up and be ready for the Lord's Day. The church is so big that they can't all fit in that room, and so there's these porches and outside areas, and you'll find brethren sitting different places around. Here's some young people sitting on a porch, and they're listening through the window, and some other young people there pray. Benjamin is trying to work it to where maybe they can build a building at some point and get everybody inside. So pray for them that they can accomplish that. This was the men's class afterwards, and we had a good study with them. This was a snack. A lot of times for lunch, I would just have something light. This is some watermelon juice and some cake. Rita had gone to a baking school at some point and learned how to bake, and so there's a snack there. This is Benjamin and Rita Nkrumah. We support them here at Warfield. And Benjamin and Rita, their daughter Adom, which means grace, she's 6 years old, and Chris, he'll be coming up on 2 in January. And then they keep a 12-year-old girl, Erica. They keep her and help her. She stays with them. And they're responsible for her. So they have taken on an extra child, and they're doing that out of their good, gracious heart. And so they're a good couple. This was some beef stir fry and rice that I had one night. Starting on Monday, November the 3rd, I had 4 days of preacher training. About 9 men came from different places in Ghana for preacher training. It was a combination of basic preaching things and then also to talk about institutionalism. So on Monday morning, I preached on the basic elements of preaching, and the evening class was common mistakes of preaching. These were long presentations that in the morning it would last 3 hours, and we would take a break about every hour or so. This is the same meeting place, of course, but cleared out enough for this preacher training. And these men are really good men, and I'm glad that they were able to come. After a while, you get tired of standing, and so you just need to sit down for a little bit. But it was 4 days of really good preacher training. The next day, we focused on more of institutional ideas and getting them off of that. There is a big habit in Ghana of taking money from the Lord's treasury and building human institutions, schools, and other kinds of things. They also will take money from the Lord's treasury and spend it on anything and everything and for everybody. And we had a lesson on how the pattern is benevolence to needy saints only. Also did the lesson on individual versus local church responsibility. On this day, the lessons were taught outside because there was a power outage in the community, and it was pretty warm inside the building. That night, I preached to just the women. It was a ladies' class on roles and responsibilities of women. So we're outside for this particular occasion. They happen to have a nice shade tree just outside the meeting place, so that worked well. That evening, a lesson for the ladies, and that went really well. I always enjoy ladies' Bible class with them. One evening, somebody had scrounged up some cocoa beans. So here's a large cocoa pod, pretty good size pod. And then on the inside, of course, are the cocoa beans, but you're not going to get chocolate until you take the cocoa beans and dry them out. But what they do is, they also do it just as a snack. So there's this gelatin-type substance in here. The cocoa beans are all in here, and there's this gelatin substance. And you basically suck on it, and it's very sweet. It tastes like chocolate. So if you don't want to take the time to dry out the beans and do all of that, they'll just eat it as a snack, and I enjoyed that. The next day is more preacher training. I talk about what is a liberal Church of Christ and a conservative Church of Christ. I do the lesson on what does the New Testament teach about fellowship. I had done those lessons here right before leaving. And the evening class again is for the Sun City women. They wanted, and they're to be commended for this, they wanted to have some material on how can I start a Bible study with my neighbor? What are some things I can do to start talking with my neighbor? And I appreciated them wanting that. And then some of the ladies here had written them some encouraging cards and notes, and I took time to read that, and they greatly appreciated those encouraging thoughts, and thank you, ladies, for doing that. So we're sitting outside again. The power's been off all day, and we're sitting outside for that class, and it went really well. The next day is the last day of preacher training, so we got a lot in. Some of them were leaving that day, so we had an extra long service. I taught balanced preaching, a sample weekly schedule for the preacher to stay organized, challenges in preaching. I did a lesson on the Christian use of the Old Testament. I'm trying to encourage my Ghana preaching brethren to study more and preach more out of the Old Testament. And then I went through the book of Obadiah to show them how they can teach and preach through an Old Testament book. That evening started called it a gospel meeting or a lectureship on the Beatitudes. And so for 4 days, I took two Beatitudes each day. I started the Beatitudes lesson that night. So we're wrapping up the preacher training. And again, those men are to be commended for coming great distances to learn and grow. There's one preacher that's not pictured here. He wasn't feeling well, but with Benjamin and myself excluded, there were 9 men that came from different places, and we had a good 4 days of preacher training. Emmanuel, I've been working with him on Zoom Bible studies. He's doing really well. I was with Felix there at the Tuam, and then I learned, I had met Tetchi on a previous occasion, and these other men are new and got to learn about them, and they're doing a great job. That evening, we start the Beatitudes series at Sun City, and this is a typical meeting arrangement. They often put the children in a little group here in the back, and they sit by themselves, the children, and then the adults are more toward the front. The next day, I study with Jennifer Sefakor. She was a member of the Presbyterian Church, and Benjamin will be following up with her. We visit with Rose Odai. She's a member of the church and doing well, very well as a business lady. And she had a lady that was coming to sell some of her products. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And this lady that wanted to come sell some of her products, Gifty, she is a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we sat down under a tree and had a Bible study with her. But Rose is a very accomplished businesswoman. She makes this soybean snack. And she's so popular that she's looking for more people right now to sell her product. She can't keep it on the shelves, so to speak. She's doing so well as a member of the church. But that evening I taught the Beatitudes part 2. This is just a random picture. One day, Rita said something about, what do you want for breakfast? And I said, I'd like a fried egg. And she said, well, I don't know how to do that. So I'm showing her. I'm not a cook by any means, but I do know how to fry an egg. So I'm showing her how to fry an egg there. Little Chris is getting ready for school that morning, so I snapped a picture of him. This study with Jennifer was a very good study. There's a lot of these little shops around the community where women make clothes, and they will have apprentices who will study with them. These girls are in an apprenticeship. They are learning how to make clothes. And this girl back here, Naomi, has been visiting the church, and Benjamin will be studying with her as well. But you can see Jennifer and I are talking there. Now, when I went into this little shop, and we're going to have a Bible study with this lady, I thought, this is going to be to my advantage. Can you think of what I might be talking about with regard to what the New Testament is, where I'm actually going to be able to have some visual aids while I'm in a shop where there's measuring going on and there's patterns going on? So I thought, wow, this is going to work out well. So we had been studying for a little while about the New Testament church and how the Presbyterian church and other denominations do not fit the pattern of the New Testament church. And so I just asked Jennifer, I said, do you have any patterns around here? And I actually had seen some up on a shelf while we were talking. She said, oh yeah, I got some up here. And so she handed me this pattern, and that's basically when I said, would you like these girls to follow the pattern or not? And she's like, oh, the girls, they have to follow the pattern. I said, what if they don't follow the pattern? Well, they're going to get kicked out. And so she really saw that, and I thought, wow, this is going to work out really great. So we had that pattern illustration right there in her shop, and that worked out really great. And then I knew this was going to work out. I said, do you have a measuring tape? And I saw that she had one over here. I said, do you have a measuring tape? And basically I talked about how the New Testament is our standard, our measuring tape. This is how we decide what is right and wrong. We don't guess when we're making a dress. We don't guess what the inches or the centimeters are. We put out that measuring tape. And so all of that worked out really well with regard to a visual aid. And so pray for her. Benjamin will be following up with her. These are the ladies that she's training, and Naomi here. And I think her brother is already a member of the church there at Sun City, and Benjamin will be studying with her more. This Rose makes a soybean snack. So the soybean comes in the bag, ground up. You mix it with water, and you put it in a pan, and you press it together, and you make these little blocks, these bite-sized little blocks of soybean. And then here she is cooking it. It's a I can't remember. I think she said maybe 30 minutes to an hour. You have to cook it. That's a fire built, hand built fire right there on the ground, and she's cooking it. Then the next process is a separate fire where you dry it out, and they throw the spices in there. So the salt and pepper and whatever spices they're putting in there. And then they sell it, and that's it on the left, and it's just bite-sized soybean snack. And apparently it's so popular that she can't keep it on the shelf. She's just making a lot of it, and she's looking for people to sell it. So God bless her for being successful in what she does. Here we are studying with Gifty, who had come by, and Benjamin is also studying with her. Pray that any follow-up will do good with her. I actually asked Rita if she could buy some fish from Jennifer, who sells fish. So we went and bought some fish and had that night with rice. Again, going through the Beatitudes series in the evenings, working through the Beatitudes there. Gives you a little bit of an idea of the congregation there at Sun City. On Saturday the 8th, I take the Nkrumah family and the children of the Browns who live with them and around them. We went to some stores and helped them with some things. And then on the way back, this Jethro, Kisadarkwa, was baptized. And that's a great thing. and then that evening, the Beatitudes. They put messages on the back of their vehicles. Let your light shine. Another one had, by His grace, Psalm 23, Psalm 91. They do a lot of that in Ghana. Messages on the back of their vehicles. I thought that was a pretty big load. I think you're pretty much maxed out there on that. You might be able to get another bag there on the top, maybe. This guy's a musician. He's a drummer. He was just going down the road, maybe going to the next gig. He was on his way. So, on the way back, this young man was baptized into Christ, and I'm talking with him prior to his baptism, and that's a great thing. Just the water right behind him is where Benjamin, when he sends me pictures, it's right out in here. They use this little area for their baptisms. Those were some of the brown children that were there, and the Nkrumah family. And this man right here is a taxi driver, Prince. He's a member of the church at Sun City, and he's a great personal worker. He talks to people in his cab. He talks to neighbors, and he had been talking with this young man and studying with him, and he obeyed the gospel. That evening, again, more lessons on the Beatitudes. After that service, with our benevolent help, we helped a man, David Teta. He's got an upcoming surgery, and we were able to give him some assistance and get him ready for his upcoming surgery, and he was very grateful for that. On Saturday evenings, the men set up the tents for the children's Bible classes. So behind the picture here is the meeting place, and then out in the courtyard there, they'll set up three tents. That's a lot of work that has to be done every Saturday night, and then they take it down after the Sunday service. So they're getting ready for the children's classes on Sunday. Sunday the 9th, I finish up the Beatitudes. I have a new converts class, Disappointments New Christians Face. I meet with the leading men about planning to become elders in the future, and they are seriously talking about that and working on that, and I'm really excited about that. And then we give David that help for his upcoming surgery. Wrapping up the Beatitudes on Sunday, and this was a second shirt that Linda had made for myself and Benjamin, so we ended up with a couple of different matching shirts on this trip. The young man that was baptized, we give him a Bible after the service, and working with new converts class here and encouraging them to remain faithful to the Lord. And this is new converts that are, some of them are recent, some of them I believe go back maybe a year or so, but they've got a good number there of good converts, and that's exciting. This was the congregational photo that day. I think it was in the 150 range, 151, 157, something like that. We were all out in the courtyard area. So the Sun City congregation, and they're doing a great job. They're growing. They're working hard. So I'm excited about how that we can help them. Here's that second shirt that Linda had made us. And another picture of little Chris. On the 10th, Monday the 10th, we visit Benjamin's parents. They live about an hour away or so. And we give them some benevolent support. He is a retired fisherman, and he's not doing that anymore. She, when she can purchase fish, she smokes fish, and so we went to give them some benevolent support. And we visited with them on my last trip, and I'm always glad to visit Benjamin's parents. They're very godly, spiritually minded. They raised Benjamin and his siblings to be good Christians, and I really appreciate the Nkrumah family. These are ovens. She builds fires in each of them, and then the fish is stacked on the top in these racks. And she's a fish monger, a fish smoker, and we helped her to get some funds to go out and buy fish so that they can support themselves. She made a local snack. There's some smoked fish over here, but this is plantains and yams smashed up, and then peanuts and boiled eggs, and we all laid out of the same bowl. You either use your fingers or a spoon, and I took this side, and Benjamin took that side, and his mom, and you just start eating out of the same bowl, and you just eat to the middle. So, you don't fight over the last bite. You don't want to do that. But that was a great local snack. On the way to see his parents, I'm getting in the car. This is the mother of Francis Brown. Francis is the one that has opened up this home to the church. And she was sitting there reading her Bible. And I said, you know, I've got a snap. I said, can I snap your picture? They say that she reads her Bible every morning, sits out there and reads her Bible. And when people come by, she talks to them about the gospel. They have people come in that they might come in and help them with the washing or help them with chores or whatever that are not members of the church. And she will take time to talk with them about the Bible. And you can see over here, she's got her little pen. She's been making notes in her Bible, reading it and studying it. So we can all be more like that. That's great. And that might let you know why her son is such a faithful Christian, right? That might answer the question, why is Francis Brown so faithful? Could it be his mother? So that's a great thing. So we can pass that on to our children. And then Rita and Benjamin and I go do some shopping in Accra for some things that they need. And then I come back home on the 12th. So appreciate your time this evening and going over that. Again, thank you to the elders and all of the church members who gave for help. And if you want to know anything more about the trip or any details or anything, please get with me on that, and I'd be glad to share that with you. Thank you again for your support in being able to do that. Lord willing, I will go back to the Philippines next year, and then in 2027 we'll try to go back to Ghana. As I close this evening, we're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. One thing that always encourages me and impresses me when I go overseas is often the hearts are very humble. You'll study with someone, you'll talk with someone, and often they will respond to the gospel right then. Or an erring Christian will come back to the Lord. And that's always an encouraging thing. Just to have that humility, just on the spot to say, hey, I need to make my life right with God. And often you will see that in other places. No arguing, no trying to make excuses, no trying to rationalize it away, or, you know, I want a more convenient season, you know, type of thing. But just on the spot, responding to the Word of God, and that's an encouraging thing. And there may be someone here this evening with that attitude, and we can help you to make your life right with God. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, why won't you come, and we'll be glad to help you with any of your needs.